Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Amen. This was part of Daniel's vision. He saw an image, a statue, which foretold the world's ruling empires. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. Our theme this week has been about a mountain. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Amen. Now, there was a message I preached about 3 years ago, and it has the same title, but this is a different message. Slightly different message. It says, "Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain." If you could bow your heads with me one more time. Father, we ask for an anointing. Lord, that the words that I speak will be your words, that they will bless, that they will encourage, that they will uplift, that they will edify. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, turn to someone, shake their hand and say, "Give me my mountain." Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, amen. You know, when we hear about a mountain, we think of an obstacle. We think of a barrier. We think of something that's going to be difficult. We think of something that maybe we don't want to deal with. We would rather stay in the valley. We would rather stay where it's nice and easy going. But I want you to tell you that actually, your blessing is on the mountaintop. Now, I told you there were two things that made me kind of laugh this week, and I told one of them Tuesday night, you know, and I know this is being recorded. I'll have to edit this, but I went into work Monday morning, and there's some project I'm working on, some stuff I'm supposed to be doing that was really delayed. It was been at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks late, and I was scrambling around to try and get it done, and as soon as I got in my not my boss, but the guy who's in charge of that project, he texted me and said, "Have you finished this? Is it done yet?" And of course, because I've been focusing so much on church, it's been hard to get my second job done the way I would like. So I quickly typed back to him, "No, it's not done yet, but I'm hoping to get it done by lunchtime." So I thought, well, I've given myself some breathing space. I got a couple hours. And so I was trying to kind of, you know, avoid him. I didn't want to meet him in the hallway, or I was trying to run away from him, really. And as soon as I came back from lunch, there he was with another message, you know, "I need to talk with you." So I thought, well, you know, he's coming to ask me, is it done? Now, I had finished a part of it, and so I text him back, "Well, I got this part sent up. They store all of their documents in the cloud." So I said, "Well, I sent that to the cloud." So he says, "Okay, I want to talk with you." So I thought he was coming, of course, to say, you know, what's the matter? This thing's 2-3 weeks late. And he came up to my desk, and I said, "Well, I got to go to a meeting." And he says, "Well, I'm going to come to the meeting too." So we go to the meeting, and he comes in, and he says, "I want to take this meeting over." So I thought, oh boy. So then he pulls out this certificate. I don't know where my wife's done with it, because I'd like to show you. And it was an award for finishing the project. Amen. The thing I was running away from was actually my blessing. And the date on it was like 2 months ago. He had decided to give me the award before I'd even finished it. And he was chasing me down to give it to me, and I was running away from him. Give me my mountain. Give me my... Sometimes the thing we're running away from is actually where our blessing is. All this time I thought he was... And it was a spectacular citation. It said all kinds of things that it's only Lord made him write it, because I didn't do it. He said this contributed to the fact that this project was going to be successful, and they gave me a little Visa gift card too with $25 on it. The thing that you are running away from, the thing that you think is the obstacle, could be the very thing that is where your blessing is. It could be the very thing where God wants to raise you up to. You need to stop saying sometimes, sometimes, to get your mountain out the way. But sometimes you got to say, I'm going through all the way. I'm climbing to the top of this. Because sometimes you need to conquer the thing that keeps beating you up, that keeps coming back into your life. Sometimes you can't run away from it. You're going to have to deal with it. See, in the Bible, we find that the mountaintop was where people wanted to go because it's the high ground. It's where you have, when you have position on top of the mountain, your enemies can't really attack you because you're up there. It was a place of escape. We find in Genesis 19:30 that God told Lot and his wife, where you got to flee? You got to flee out of the plains and head to the mountains. They may have said, that's not where we want to go. But you see, destruction is going to come down into the valleys. Sometimes where your deliverance is in a high place. You know, in Louisiana, they've been having what they call a 1,000-year flood. I'm so glad I'm not in a low place. I'm sure the people who are up in the mountaintops are very glad now that they're built their house upon the rock. Jesus said, if you build your house in the sand, when the wind comes, when the storm comes, you won't be able to survive. But if you're on the top of the rock, when the floods come, they're going to go past you. The thing you're running away from sometimes is the thing where your deliverance is at. Amen. I'm going to say, give me my mountain. We find that not only does God meet people at wells, not only does he meet people in gardens, but many times he meets you on the mountaintop. Now, what does that mean to get up the mountain? Well, it does involve sacrifice. There's no easy going up to the top of the mountain. You're not going to get a train up there. You're going to have to hike up to that mountain. Amen. It was a place of escape for Lot. In Genesis chapter 19 and 30, it said, flee to the mountains. It was the place where the two spies hid out when they ran away from Jericho. The Rahab said, why don't you flee to the mountains? It was a hiding place. It was a place of sacrifice. God told Abraham, I want you to take your only son. Now, getting up to the mountaintop sometimes involves some sacrifice. Sometimes it'll be something that we dearly want to hold on to, but we got to give up. It's a place where you have to take that sacrifice. You have to take your son, the only son whom you love, and take him up to the top of the mountain. That's where God met Abraham. He said, because you have given me your only son whom you love, you're going to be blessed, Abraham. You see, sometimes the thing that we're afraid of is the thing we got to deal with. There's no escaping the issue. You've got to climb up the mountain. You have got to just grab hold of it and say, give me my mountain. Amen. Let's say it. Come on. Give me my mountain. Amen. In the last time I spoke about this, I told this story of Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies that had been sent into the Canaan to spy out the land. He and Joshua, of the 12 spies that came back, those were the only two that had a good report. They were not defeated. They were not discouraged because the land was mountainous. They were not ready to turn back because the place was full of fearsome giants. But they said, we can conquer this. We are well able to take this country. We can take our mountain. So at that point, God blessed Caleb and Joshua. Now, you see, the thing about Caleb was, and I don't know if you remember what his name meant, but his name was not a good name. Most of us, when we're choosing baby names, we go in the book and we're looking for, you know, prince, princess, blessing, honor, all those. But his name, Caleb, actually means dog. See, here's something I want you to know. It's not what people call you, but it's what you listen to. See, they called him dog. That's what Caleb means. But he didn't let that define his life. He didn't let what he had been raised define his destiny. I read in the news a little while ago about a little girl who had been taken out of an abusive situation. And when the police asked her name, she said her name was Idiot. How sad that someone had defined her by calling her an idiot so much that she thought that was her name. But that wasn't the case with Caleb. He knew that there was someone that was higher than whoever had given him that name. His lineage was that he was the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Judah. He was related to the tribe of Judah. And we'll see that when he came into Canaan, what was given to him was not the beautiful, well-watered plain. He was given a mountain. But you know what? He grasped hold of that thing and he said, "Give me my mountain." Amen. Sometimes you may not be given the nice, smooth path. You may not have been born into wealth. You may not have been born into privilege. You may have gotten a name that isn't that good a name. But what you have to say is, nonetheless, give me my mountain. With God, I can do all things. With God, there is nothing that shall be impossible to them that believe. See, a mountain is also a place of sanctuary. It's a place where Jesus himself went up when he wanted to be alone. The Bible said he went up alone into a mountain. Sometimes you need that mountaintop experience where you're just by yourself and there's no one else and you can just wail and you can just cry out to God Almighty. And that's the place where God will meet you, on the mountaintop. Sometimes we just have to say, "Give me my mountain." Sometimes there's no going around it. You have to actually climb up to the top. You have to bring your sacrifice. See, the mountain was also a place of sanctuary, a place of separation. If you want to get alone, you go up to a mountain. Not many people want to follow you up there. But it is a place where God will meet you. It's a place of deliverance. It's also, as I said, a place of sacrifice. It's a place where most of us don't want to go. We look at our mountain, we want to just say, "Be cast into the sea." But the trouble is, if you keep casting it in the sea, eventually you'll come up across another mountain. Some mountains, you just have to climb up them. Some mountains, you have to just accept them and know that when you get on the top, you can look down in victory. You can look down as a blessing to others. Amen. See, I was running away from this guy, and he was just looking to bless me. I thought it was a mountain I was going to dodge. If I had understood, I could have had that blessing earlier. When I looked at the award, it said it was like 2 months ago, 6/29. He was just waiting for me to just give him a little bit of an excuse to give me the award. All I had to say, "Well, I finished part of it." He said, I want to see you. I'm coming to the meeting." And in front of everybody, he said, "I'd like to give this award to Michael Brownie for blah, 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 blah." And you could have knocked me down with a feather. You could have pushed me over and it wouldn't have taken any force because I was running away from my blessing. How many times have we done that when we think it's a challenge, we think it's destruction, yet it's our very place of salvation? How many times do we run away sometimes from our church because we don't like the preaching? We don't like the word, but it is our place of correction. It is our place of ministry. It's our place where we're going to hear a word that will wash us, that will make us, that will bring us closer to God. See, Caleb, as I said, he didn't have a good name. He wasn't, you know, I thank God for my parents. My mother searched long and hard, I guess, to name me Michael. And I have not lived up to the name. The name is a very high name. It means one who is like God. I mean, she really blessed me with a great name. And I know the same with my brother. Now, he has a middle name that he never wants anyone to know. So you can go and ask him. See, I now put it on him. But I think it's a great name. I think it's a wonderful name. So now I've put the whole church on you. But we know we go through a lot of trouble when we go to name our children. You know, we can think of people and we say, "No, we can't name them that. No, we can't name them that." And we really struggle. But here was a young man who was given a name that already started him out at a disadvantage. Dog. Who would call your child a dog? We don't know his early childhood. We don't know his story. But one thing we know about dogs is they're loyal. They just love unconditionally. Those of you who have dogs, as soon as they hear you drive up, they're running to the door and they're barking and they're running and they just want to leap on you. They missed you. We can see that that was part of Caleb's character. He was loyal. He was one of the ones that were there to support Moses right from the get-go. So maybe there was something to his name. But I want to point out something else when I taught this, when I started researching this about Caleb. It doesn't matter what the world names you, but God can rename you. When God calls you, when He has a job for you, He'll put a new name on you. If you turn to Numbers chapter 14, 24. Numbers chapter 14, 24. And it says, but my servant. And God called him servant. He didn't call him Caleb. And servant means, is the name Ebed. So God renamed him. He said, I'm going to call you my servant, which is the greatest name God can call anybody. If He says you are my servant, you know you have arrived. You know you're part of the household. I know you're part of the kingdom. So although his family must have named him Caleb, God called him servant. God called him Ebed because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. There's something about a dog. They will follow you everywhere. They will follow you everywhere. I can remember as a little toddler, about 3 years old, growing up in Jamaica, my dad used to play the accordion, and he would come out on the veranda. We had a porch, and we had two dogs, Fluffy and Rex. And my dad would get the accordion, he'd start to play, and those two dogs would start to sing. They would start to sing, and I used to think that was the funniest thing out. He would get up and try and shut them up, and they would stop, and he'd get back and start to play his accordion, and Fluffy and Rex would start to sing. They were loyal. They would follow you everywhere. You see, it says here about Caleb, he had another spirit, hath followed me fully. There's something, even if the world wants to call you all kinds of names, you can take that name and use it to further your character. They called him dog, so he started to say, okay, a dog is faithful, a dog is loving, I'm just going to follow God with my whole heart. So it turns out now that they have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. And they finally came to Canaan, and they finally had wars of 7 years. 7 years. Remember that number. And it was time now for their inheritance. And we turn to Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua 14, verse 6, and I'm almost finished. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses. God may have a word over your life. And it may have been said 40 years ago. It may have been said 10 years ago, but you have to hold on to that vision. You have to not let it go. Caleb did not let go the vision. He said, listen, you knowest the thing that the Lord Moses said unto me in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old. That was a long time ago. God gave me a promise. 40 years was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me as a spy. And brought me again, and brought him word again, as it was in my heart. And at that time, Moses gave him a promise. God has given us exceeding great promises. Do you understand that? Do you know that? Do you believe that? And if that promise turns out that it's a mountain, you have to do like Caleb. Give me my mountain. And Moses swore on that day, verse 9, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. See, now the rest of the tribes, they looked out the land, they said, okay, I'll take that nice, beautiful valley with all the river, with all the water. We have cattle. And the other tribes said, yeah, I want this place next to the sea. It's got beachfront properties. We can put up some hotels. I want all the nice places. But Caleb, I don't know if it was because of his name, but he said, look, just give me the mountain. Give me my mountain. And that's where he had conquered. Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly, that means altogether, followed the Lord. So 40 years Caleb was in the desert holding on to this promise. 40 years earlier he had left Egypt expecting to enter the promised land, and he had wandered about for 40 years. Do not give up on your promise. Even if it takes a while, do not give up on God's promise. Even though the vision tarry, don't worry about it. It shall come to pass. Now, the thing is, his place of inheritance wasn't a plush carpet. He'd been given this mountain. Verse 10. Now look at this. This is faith for you. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. All the people who came out of Egypt, except for Caleb and Joshua, they all died. But because he was faithful, because he said, there is nothing that is impossible for God to do, God kept him alive. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, some of us, we give up on our dream before we get 30. You know, by when you're in high school, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, and you got all these big plans. Come about 30, realism sets in. Reality sets in. You know, I'm going to be an astronaut. Then I'm going to be a pilot. Then I'm going to be a fireman. Then I'm going to work in an office. But Caleb did not give up his dream. He did not falter because he didn't get the best looking land. He says, I'm now 85 years old and I have not given up on my dream. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength. He declared that he was all right. He declared that he wasn't any weaker. He declared that he was going to face what it needed to take his inheritance. I like verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. He wasn't backing down. He wasn't running away. I'm trying to tell you something today. God is speaking. A lot of us are facing some mountains and our inclination is to run the other way. But sometimes you have to face the devil and face him down. Sometimes you have to take him on head on first. Because you know he's going to come back. So you might as well deal with him now. So this was Caleb's answer. Now therefore give me this mountain. Now let me tell you about this mountain. This wasn't an empty mountain. There were people living on it. It wasn't just a mountain he could even just climb up, because there were giants living in this mountain. There were the Anakims and the Amorites. There was all these fierce, warsome tribes. And yet he is saying, give me this mountain. And he made some declarations. He said, listen, I don't care who's on that mountain, because the Lord is with me. He has helped me come through 40 years of wilderness. He has set me upon my feet, and you give me this mountain. Amen. It's time for us to take back the land that the Lord has given us. Now, it may mean a fight. It's not an empty land. It's not just walking in there. It means that you're going to have to fight. It means you're going to have to sacrifice. It means you're going to have to face down Satan. But you need to say today, give me my mountain. Because when you get to the top, there's going to be a blessing. There is going to be deliverance. There is going to be victory. Hallelujah. Give me my mountain. It says in verse 10, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims. Now if you study it, the Anakims were a race of giants. They were descended from the Nephilim. And that the cities were great. They had cities on this mountain and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And you will see if you read the rest of the story, that not only did he drive them out, but he claimed his mountain for an inheritance. Today I'm telling you, we need to say, give me my mountain. If you could stand with me. It's time for us to face down Satan and stop running from him and tell him, listen, if the mountain is my inheritance, give me my mountain. I am not defeated. I am not afraid. I am not running away from you, Satan, because I know the Lord took me through 40 years of wilderness. I remember what Moses, the man of God, said to me, and I declare today that I'm claiming my inheritance. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Now, I said there was another reason why I just had to smile today, this week. You know, I don't know why. The song says, I don't know why Jesus, what? Loves me. I just had to smile today. I told some of you in Sunday school that it's been 7 years we've been here. We have a house in Michigan that we've been trying to sell. And since we've been here, we've been renting and so on. And we decided it was time to get my mountain. Give me the mountain. So we had our eye on a house, and they had put a contract on it, but it had some conditions that we had to fulfill. We had to sell the other house to be able to buy this house. And so the time came where someone else wanted it, and we had to decide. And I just didn't think it was going to be, but you know what? God had a different plan. Satan can say no all he wants. But if God says yes, in him it's yea, and in him, amen. So the mortgage company, I called them up, and before they had told me, no, you can't have another loan when you still have a loan and you're renting at the same time. That can't happen. That's impossible. But you know, it's like the Force on Star Wars. I can't wiggle my nose like Bewitched. But when God wiggles his nose, things happen. Things change. And he said, there's no problem. No, let me just run these figures. Yeah, you can have it. I said, are you sure? I had to call him. We hung up, and then I called him back. See, I was in more doubt than he was. I said, are you sure this means it's going to pass underwriting? He says, yes, a formality. The computer already said yes. God messed with the computer, because last time the computer had said no. I don't know what's changed except Almighty God. When you are facing your mountain, you got to get like Caleb and say, give me my mountain. Sometimes you want to get the mountain out the way, but sometimes you better just face it and start climbing. My father-in-law used to have a statement. He said, hold and climb. That means you never back down. Climb and hold. Don't let the devil back you down. Even if you're climbing, you climb and then you hold. Then you climb some more. If you keep that one principle, you know what? You'll end up at the top. You'll end up at the top. It's time for us to tell the devil, okay, I know there's some giants on that mountain. I know it's steep. I know it's going to take some sacrifice. I might get my knees skinned up. I might get some hands blistered. But I'm going up this mountain. Give me my mountain. This month our theme is about speaking to your mountain. Sometimes you have to speak to the mountain and tell him you're coming up there. You know, in the fairy tales on the mountain live the giants and the trolls and all that. You better tell him, listen, you get off my mountain. I'm coming up there. Maybe you don't speak to the mountain to get it out of the way, but you're speaking to the mountain to say, I'm coming up there. I'm coming up there. I'm going to be on the top looking down. I'm not on the bottom looking up forever, but I'm going to be on the top looking down. It's time for us to tell the devil, give me my mountain. I open these altars right now. If you're going through some struggles, if you are facing a mountain, you have two choices. You can either tell it to go into the sea, or you can say, I'm coming up that mountain. Give me my mountain. Caleb's inheritance was not the valley, was not the lush grass. It was a mountaintop. But you know, once you get on top of the mountain, it's not easy to get you off. It's a place of victory. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place where God meets people. It was the place of transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus said to Peter, come up to the mountain. It's a place of revelation. I want to show you something that I'm not showing anybody else. It's a place where God can meet you and show you things. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of sacrifice. It's time sometimes for us to say, give me my mountain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As they sing, we're going to pray. We're going to close this service. But I want you to think about that. Many of us are facing some mountains. Some things we don't really want to deal with. Don't know how to deal with. Would rather they go away. But seek God's face and see if this time he wants you to get on top of this mountain. To get victory over the devil. Get victory over the giants. You know, David only fought one giant. Caleb had a whole tribe of them. A whole tribe of them on top of a mountain. But you read the story. In the end, he got the victory. And he claimed his inheritance. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Lord, we just thank you right now for this word. Lord, you know that some of us.